first. But as an owner of a business, it's very important to pay attention to your staff as well, because without your staff, your business isn't going to run very well. The people that have solitary practices, my hat's off to them, because they are doing it all, and many times are even doing the bookkeeping and everything that goes with that. So, but the worries are there, and I was doing some research prior to today, looking for some advice on the web for what's being recommended for owners of small businesses in particular. And I wanted to share some of that with you. And then as we move along, certainly this is supposed to be a dialogue. So other people are going to have much more interesting and fun, hopefully, ways to help their staff throughout this crisis. One of the things I was reading.
Mary Kay, can I ask, one of the reasons we're doing these calls is so that we're better together, so that we can connect, and we can't connect if just your name is up. One of the reasons we're doing Zoom instead of doing just a call-in is so we can see each other. So I'm not worried about whether your hair's done or you have makeup on or whether you're growing a beard.
Or if we only have hair on our face.
Yeah, there you go. So some of you, come on, show your face. Thank you, Mary Kay.
Oh, sure. Sure. I'm seeing faces, so I didn't realize anything different. One of the thoughts on the web right now, particularly for CEOs and people managing businesses, is when they're talking to their staff. So one of the things is to communicate really regularly with your staff. Even if they've had to go on unemployment, they may be still touching base with a nursing home, or sending a note out to a family, or sending a card to a client. And certainly all that, in my perspective, should be paid time while they're doing that, because it's still maintaining a relationship with that client, which is hugely important for when things get back rolling in a normal kind of way. That CEOs need to remember their body language. And when they're communicating, even if it's in an email, if it's on Zoom, if it's on a phone call, it's body language and vocal inflection. So if the CEO or the president of the company is nervous and anxious about what's happening with their small business, it's going to cause anxiety for their staff. So they just need to be aware, keep things honest, keep the ability to reassure their staff, and to work to let their staff know that they are a valued employee. One of the other pieces that I read about was to acknowledge that everyone isn't used to working from home. A lot of people are on the road, and with care management, a lot of times people are working out of their car almost all the time and utilizing what's in their car. It can get really tiresome to work off your kitchen counter. So that owners of businesses need to acknowledge and find if there's any way that their employees need extra support, whether it's with office supplies or some kind of other arrangement with their computer systems, to make it easier for them to work from home if they're used to coming to the office. Some businesses certainly are all different in care management, and some people are working primarily from home, but many come into offices and work from there. So to realize that a home office isn't necessarily something set up to do care management. So to supply them with what they need, or to have suggestions if you're using part of a bedroom now instead of an office space. That daily communication was emphasized. in any way that'll show the value of that employee. They also discussed how you need to be careful as an owner of a business to make sure that your conversations with your staff, as well as you know them and as intimate as you are with them and as intimate as they are with their clients and families, realize that you are still in a legally professional position. As much as you're empathizing with the whole situation going on, they actually, in one area, talked about how you should not be asking specifics, believe it or not, this surprised me, about symptoms, whether they're having coronavirus symptoms. You can review with them what's called the STOP, which is a review of symptoms, actually. It's the S stands for symptoms. The T stands for taking temperatures. The O stands for whether, let me see what the O stands for. It has to do with travel anyway. Out of country, that's what it was. Out of country or domestic travel in the last 30 days. And the P is to proceed. So if those things, if you're, if the staff member is reviewed on what the symptoms are of COVID, and they've taken their temperature and they can state that they've not been out of the country or right now probably out of your county, definitely not out of your state anyway, that they can proceed with whatever interaction they're doing. But they cautioned about asking about particular symptoms. And so I'll take that for what it's worth. It's on the internet. and it seems like it's a reasonable statement. I also thought about how we can continue to keep our staff employed in some manner, as much as we can. They can still be getting unemployment because their salary or their wage has been cut drastically, most likely. But there are still other things, especially if you have a very good writer on your staff, where you know you can utilize them to write blogs or to put things on Facebook that are appropriate. Related to anything, related to any kind of aging situation, and also reassuring that this is a temporary situation and that things will get back to normal. Certainly reviewing charts and updating charts. When we are busy, we are busy. And sometimes, you know, having a new allergy that doesn't get put on the chart, a most recent hospitalization, those things that really need to be in certain parts, especially if you've got a computer program where there's lots of places to fill things in throughout the chart on different pages, this is a time that you could pay people to review their charts, give them perhaps a time limit of 15 minutes or whatever you feel is appropriate to go through and really make sure those charts are updated well. There's also an on-call, even though we're not making home visits, we certainly can rotate that on-call schedule so that people can take their turn managing an emergency if someone from a nursing home would call in or a family member calling in needing extra information or to be reassured. Certainly the virtual visits that everyone's doing as much as possible through contacting staff. And the nursing homes may have a particular person or you might be speaking directly with the nurse on duty for your resident. Certainly supplying, you know, a owner of a company, and it may go beyond when we start to be able to get back into facilities. It may be a good idea that we still have masks on. So whether they're something that are less medical looking, so trying to either create or supply masks and plenty of them so that when things start to get back to normal and we can make visits, that there are supplies, reusable kind of supplies for our care managers to go back. This is a little touchy, but I was reading about the fact that this could be a time for family members, perhaps even more than clients, to realize that they need to think about their POLST document or their MOST document. I think they're called different things in different states, where they really think about what their quality of life, what their goals for care are. This could be one of those times to somehow interject into a conversation with a family, that it's not just the 80-year-olds that need these documents, that younger people certainly should have these in mind and communicate them. And certainly we can supply them with the state form, email that to them so that they can at least get to look at it. Whether they're ready to fill it out on an occasion like this, it may be a little scary to do that, but it may be a reinforcement of the need for those forms. If you also have a home care agency that's affiliated with your care management practice, this is that time. This is where I was reading about that STOP protocol, which is what people are doing with their home care staff, and the STOP, again, being a symptom review, taking their temperature, asking them again whether they've been out of the country, and then they can proceed if their answers to those questions are that they have no symptoms and no temperature and have not been out of the country. So this is an occasion for a staff member to perhaps review and teach with those caregivers, even if they're not part of your own company, but there's been a long-term live-in staff or substitute staff in one of your homes, that you can go through those symptoms with them, and reviewing hand washing and those sorts of things. This is certainly a time to encourage CEUs that, you know, you've got some time on your hands, and so this is great. In fact, on June 9th, NACM has a wonderful book review that is, it's a webinar book club. And
author is Ashton Applewhite.
Ashton Applewhite, thank you. And it's called This Chair Rocks, and it's about ageism and the ingrained feelings about aging that we all have, even in this business. I find myself catching myself sometimes making assumptions, and certainly with all the news right now coming out and worrying about older people that are over the age of 60, that this is a great book to review with ourselves and come on. And that's one CEU. So we have time to read right now. It would be great. We'd love to have you come and be part of that CEU event. Are there questions and good ideas that other people have? I don't certainly need to be doing all the talking here. So we'd love to have people chime in. Are there any questions there, Julie?
It looks like Brenda had a question. Brenda, do you want to talk about that? Brenda Shorkin?
Sorry. Oh, you unmuted me. Thank you. No, it wasn't a question. I just wanted to make sure, I'm sure everybody knows this, but I wanted to be sure that we all do, that CMS is allowing visits when people are truly at end of life. And I'm finding that local hospitals are honoring this. I had a situation with a client where they weren't sure whether what the situation was. He was on a vent, not with COVID, actually. And the, oops, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get to see you all again. I'm sorry, one moment. That's better. So they weren't sure when they took him off the vent which way it would go, and they had the family wait in the parking lot so that if, when they took him off the vent, it was obvious that he was unable to breathe on his own, they would have been able to come in and see him. Thankfully, he is breathing on his own, and he seems to be getting stronger, you know, in a very dicey time. No way of knowing which way it'll go, but I found it very comforting that the hospital worked really well with him. Also, with my help, they were able to talk to him when he was, they were really not sure a few days ago which way it was going. The nurse took a phone to his ear, and the family were able to talk to him, and he even managed to write a few words for them. This was at the point where they really weren't sure whether he'd last another day. And there's just some wonderful people out there who are trying their best. And I have, you know, 500 horror stories, but I'm really comforted by these nurses and doctors and the people and the staff that are absolutely trying their best.
I agree with you 100%, and this is also an opportunity for care management companies to support all those workers who are out there, you know, on the front lines. That this is the time, whether it's cards to the nurses' station or you know, any kind of appreciation shown. It's good for business going forward, but it's also, you know, certainly well needed to continue to support that frontline staff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, on that, Mary Kay, this is Byron. We actually have our staff is still working, of course, remotely, and we are able to see some of our clients that have dire needs, or at the very least, deliver the supplies that we've delivered in the past, remotely, kind of throw and go, go back to my old paper route days, you kind of throw it at the front door and you run. You know, we're not doing that. We're dropping stuff off. We also have a fairly large home care company here that is not providing PPE to their caregivers. I mean, I know, Brenda, I see your face. We're shocked too. We have several, most of our home care companies are, but we have several clients that are in facilities or at home and still have caregivers. And many of those were asking that they wear some type of face protection. And the home care company is not providing the face masks. So we actually have one of our staff members has been sewing them face masks, and so we've been delivering those too, so that keeps them busy a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in New Jersey there's no home visiting going on, there's no everything's done remotely. Yeah, so I think it really depends. The New York area, I'm sure the same thing. You know, they're real hot spots right now, and those hot spots are going to keep moving around. So
California, caregivers are allowed into homes. They're not allowed into most facilities. And I don't know of any care managers who are actually visiting at this time, apart from, you know, delivering things or talking through the window.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts, anything unique people are doing out there that has had a good response that they'd love to share with anyone?
This is Marcy Greenslit. I'm in Colorado, and this morning I did a telehealth visit. I called my client via FaceTime on an iPad, and then we're basically face-to-face as I did the telehealth with her doctor on my computer.
Oh, nice.
And it actually went okay. So we were in three different locations. There's a little bit of a lag time, but it prevented her from having to go in to visit the doctor, which I think was a good thing. So.
Oh, yeah.
This is Brenda. We're doing similar things. I'm doing my first one of those next week. Up to now, we've just postponed medical appointments. We're going to try it by Zoom so that we can all be on the same, at least in the same program. We'll have the client at the facility with the caregiver, me and the doctor, and we'll see how it goes. She does have dementia, so it's a little bit more difficult, but we're going to see how that goes.
The other piece I was reading about has to do with, it says, anticipate secondary effects. When we're talking with our staff, we know, you know, not only is the job right in front of us changed for them, but there's a lot of families that are losing their primary income. It may not be the care management work that they're doing. It may be another family member who has lost their job or has been furloughed and is really impacting their ability to manage things in a regular way besides having kids home or college kids home and the disappointments that are going on in families. I have a sister who's, she's got a college graduation and a high school graduation, both of which were canceled. In my family, we had a wedding canceled, actually. My daughter was getting married May 16th, and that is canceled. She's getting married, but on her own. We're not traveling to Boston. So there's a lot of stresses and anxiety and sadnesses that are going on. And I know when I... the impact of all of this first started to hit me. I was on a Zoom call with a bunch of friends. So I've moved in the last year. I'm down in North Carolina now. And seeing everyone's face on Zoom, I don't think I realized how isolated I felt. And seeing all these friends from, you know, a year ago, it really took me back. I really was affected by it. So I can imagine that if you have the added stresses of losing income in the family and having kids home that weren't supposed to be and big disappointments of family events, it's going to impact. And business owners, and particularly in care management, when we work in such an intimate way with families and all, we need to really listen for the clues of our own staff. You know, are they needing more support? Are they needing to talk to somebody professionally? Again, you have to be careful how you walk on that, but you need to have an extra set of ears for your staff, which you normally do anyway. I know that, but it's more of an imperative now because things are very dramatic in how quickly they've happened. And the financial impact besides the emotional impact on things. I was reading also, and I'm sure you're, as business owners, you are quite aware of the Paycheck Protection Program. And there's information on SBA, the Small Business Association, .org, and 1,000 other websites about, I think it's coronavirus.org also, that talks about how if your business needs added support financially, you can apply for that. The funds are given in the form of loans, but if you can prove that they are mostly funds that you are taking so that people cannot be furloughed, so that they can continue working and that your business can continue to employ them. The funds are provided in the form of loans, but will be fully forgiven when used for payroll costs, interest on mortgages, rent, or utilities. The suggestion on the web is that at least 75% of that amount of that loan that you're getting should go out in payroll in order for it to be fully forgiven. So it's a loan that becomes a grant for your business. So when it comes to small businesses, this is huge. And finding ways for your staff to continue to participate in the running of the company for another month or two is a great, great service for them and for you as a small business.
Mary Kay.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
This is Stephanie. Also, just there are some rules around the PPE that people have to be aware of in terms of how much money. I'm sorry, you're going to hear my cat's fright now.
Oh, is that a real picture behind you, Stephanie?
That is virtual. That's virtual. No, so you have to be careful about how much, because it does pay for other kinds of utilities. It pays for certain utilities attached to the business, but it's 75% has to go towards payroll. Mm-hmm. So people need to just be aware of that.
Great, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, Mary Kay, this is Byron. Yeah. And I didn't introduce myself. This is Byron. My ego, I guess, thinks everybody knows who I am, right? Everybody in my world right now, the three people in my house know who I am, so I feel popular. And by the way, my virtual background is the Kilmenham Jail in Dublin, Ireland. I thought the jail scene was appropriate. I'm in San Antonio, Texas. We have six full-time care managers. And we've been very blessed. We didn't lay off anybody. We didn't furlough anybody. And all of my care managers are paid salary. And so we have kept them on. I do have a couple that are hourly, and we have kept them on at their average hourly rate. And so once the PPP, now that that has come through, or well, now that it's in the process, we have not been approved yet. Now that it is sitting on my banker's desk, I feel like we will make it through this. So I do, but to the point of your point on stress, I don't, you know, most of my care managers have not suffered financially, although they do get some bonuses from billing. So that has dropped some, but they are all making still a fairly decent living wage. And so that's not their complaint. Their complaint is just going stir crazy. That, you know, my care manager who has three small children at home, she says, my God, I have a master's in social work, but I never thought I'd be a teacher. What the hell is this new math? I'm speaking tongue in cheek, but it truly is stressing her out. I mean, it is a huge stressor for her. Another one of our care managers has a daughter that has battled with depression, and so being locked in a house for several weeks has certainly affected her depression, and had to do some changes in medications, and of course getting to the doctor. But so all of this, you know, it affects us all so differently. And I think, you know, how we support each other. First of all, this is a great way. You know, we're trying to have Zoom phone calls with our staff. I check in with each one every couple of days, and I'm asking them to, you know, check on each other because they're certainly not as busy as before. So I think there are some creative ways we can still try to stay engaged. And I love Tani's point that turn on your video because there's nothing like seeing you. And the good old fashioned conference call, we're all used to sitting there on a phone call or having my hand keeps disappearing sitting on a phone call or having it on speakerphone, and then we're off doing something else. We're checking our phones, we're on the computer, we're doing something else. And if you put the video on, you're kind of held to task, and so it's a double-edged sword, but it's really a good thing. So anyway, my two cents.
Yeah, great.
Can I just say something just to follow on, and certainly to follow on what you said, Mary Kay, earlier about the impact on your family personally and Byron on your care managers and certainly mine. I don't think that we can underestimate the personal cost on all of us. And so I think the drive to be the great care manager and to continue to do what we do is important, yes, but we can't do it at the cost of ourselves and our families. So I do really appreciate that both of you brought that very personal aspect of what everybody is going through. And denial is not a good tool at this moment. I think we need to be particularly sensitive to our own emotions and the people around us.
I also have been thinking about, as things start to return to normal, what that's going to feel like. Because it could be, oh, I kind of liked being home. or the kids don't want to go back to daycare, or they don't want to go back to school. I think we're going to have a different kind of reaction, but I think we're not done with having the reactions, and it's going to be interesting. I think I'm learning a lot about myself, is what I said the other day. That you think you're so indefatigable that you find yourself kind of lonely and not feeling, especially people in care management who are so used to being the doers. They're fixing things. They're resolving issues. And a lot of that is so much ingrained in being that face-to-face, and I keep using the word intimacy, that's how we do our work. And the staff, our staff who has learned to do that so well, the quality of that is so intrinsic to care management. And to have that short-circuited because of this distancing a few weeks ago, that impacted me personally, was that I realized I could not run out and hug a grandchild. That really, I brought me to tears. I mean, and it wasn't just that. I think it was that if you can't help your own family in these circumstances, what in the world? This is all I've done for 45 years is to go out and try and make things better. And when you really feel like you're cut off at the knees, it really feels terrible. It feels inadequate. So that's been a bit of a transition for me, in that you have to do a lot more by phone and other remedies. So as care managers, I think that's particularly hard. Anybody else want to share something that they're doing with their staff or something that's impacted them?
Yes, Mary Kay, hi, and everybody.
Hi, Janet. Hi. Yeah. You're on a treadmill?
Yeah. This is how I'm handling part of my stress. definitely spending a lot more time on webinars. But now that my fellow Texan Byron guilted me by not being on camera, I decided that I would go ahead and subject y'all to my bobbing up and down so that you could see my face. And actually, I'm in my office. This is not a virtual picture behind me. It's just the painting that's hanging right behind me, because I'm still able to come into my office. The building is totally deserted, but it allows me to get out of the house a little bit, which is helping me to feel like life is a little bit normal. And honestly, I have been working harder these last few weeks than I think I've ever worked before. Oh. Surprisingly. And part of it is, like you were saying, that mentality that this is what we do. You know, we go out and we fix things and we solve problems. We solve the challenges of aging. That is so frustrating not to be able to do that. I have a staff of, there are 10 of us in total, not everybody full-time. We are holding on to everybody, and we're trying to be really creative in how we are now living in this new world, using technology for our visits more, doing those virtual visits, and just thinking about what's next. One of the ideas I wanted to say that we were thinking about, and our team had a Zoom call right before I joined this august group of care managers, is Tasha Beauchamp's idea about the consult designed to put together a plan, a COVID-19 plan. I think she sent that to the members list serve yesterday. And we were just looking at that and thinking, you know, that really would be a valuable consult for a family member to have. And which of our clients could really benefit from having a care manager reach out to them and have a structured discussion like that around what this crisis is creating for their loved one in the facility, or what are their unmet needs, and having that advanced directives discussion. And then, of course, having perhaps a discussion about what would happen if our client is found to be positive, and, you know, the pros and cons of sending them to the hospital, and having those discussions ahead of the crisis. So just thinking about how we might utilize that kind of consult structure to bring that to some of our clients, and potentially as a standalone consult to people that are not yet our clients, but that may be having those questions, and how to get the word out about the availability of such a consult. So those are some of the things that are resonating with me. And thank you, whoever answered me on the Zoom question, because I did have some concern about whether that would be HIPAA compliant, but I think you forwarded me a link somewhere in the chat. So Zoom is HIPAA compliant, and doctors are going to be comfortable utilizing Zoom for telehealth and telemedicine. Has everybody had experience utilizing Zoom? I guess that's an approved vehicle to do that, right? I see nods. Okay. That's good. Because doctors that we've been doing that with have had their own portal, and the care manager had to download the app in order to do the telemedicine visit. And that created more of a challenge.
Yeah, so, Janet, this is Byron. And I think someone said this in the chat. CMS has...
I've heard of you before. Yes.
CMS has relaxed the regulations. Telemedicine can really be, it can be done via FaceTime now, which is not HIPAA compliant, if it's necessary. So you really, whatever the doctor would feel comfortable doing, you can do. We've used Zoom. We've just made sure that we add the password, because, you know, there's been some reports of people hacking into Zoom. I think if you've read those, I think some of them are a little more scary than they need to be. It's really people who are posting, you know, like if NACM posted this Zoom conference on our website on the public side and people see that, then they're just using the code to crack in. They're not really hacking in. They're just piggybacking on the invitation. So making sure that invitation is private and that there's an extra layer of protection. And it's worked really well for us. We've done a couple of those. I also really quickly want to say to the consults, we've been doing Zoom consults for over a year now. Not necessarily COVID related, of course, but we are sending out, you know, MailChimp advertisements to all of our referral sources saying, hey, we're here. We haven't had any bites yet. We've done it a couple of times in the last 2 weeks. But if you have any stressors, please let us know. So hopefully that'll build some business.
That's a great idea. I love that. And also, I mean, I am just really struck with the fact that our calls have totally dropped off, you know, from prospects, and it's just so quiet out there. It is really amazing that that there just is no one reaching out to us saying, hey, you know, we need help. So I...
Mary Kay and Janet.
Yes.
ALCA, Aging Life Care Association, has sent letters with a flyer to the hospital associations. We're not finished. We started at the national level and we're working down through the states. But we hope that people will follow up. We sent a letter saying our members are here to help your members, meaning the hospitals. So if we can get that out and you can all, and you can send a note to your local discharge planners, that'll support the effort that the association is trying to do. And I know that not everybody on this call is a member of the ALCA Aging Life Care Association, but just so everybody knows, we are working together to get the word out that that's what care management does.
Hi, Tani. This is Brenda. I think I'm not sure how it can be done to actually have the hospitals understand who and what we are. I worked at Huntington Hospital. They never refer to care managers, even though they no longer have a fee-for-service care manager program. Their resource center does occasionally. They do refer to care managers, but not the hospital, not the discharge planners. Methodist Hospital, I was in a meeting with their care coordinators. I know the woman is now retired, but I knew the head of their care management personally, and she endorsed me personally. It's not me personally, we care managers are not getting these calls. The hospitals don't like us when they know who we are. Either they have met people who call themselves care managers and disrupt the work of the hospital, or they meet people who are very professional and tell them to get their act together. And they, even if it's done in a very polite way, so there's quite a tension. I just had an issue this week where I met with a family the first time on Zoom, and we were going to have a meeting with the oncologist the next day on the phone or on Zoom or whatever. The doctor's office told them that they do what I do. So they were shutting out people from the outside who could, God forbid, try and provide the support to the client. In this specific situation, I think they don't want it to stop chemo and go on hospice. I think that's what it's about. So there's all these vested interests out there, which they don't discourage me, but now that I've been doing this work for a while, I'm very realistic about why doctors' offices, why hospitals don't want to work with us. So I'm not sure how our message needs to be done differently, or whether you, Tani, and the association at a much higher level can develop relationships with the hospital associations rather than with individual hospitals.
I think we all have to do it together. I think we have started with the two national associations, Rich Pollack, who runs American Hospital Association, and Chip Kahn, who runs the Federation, which are the for-profit hospital association. We've sent letters to them, and we will continue with the state associations and the American Hospital Association chapter regions folks at the top level. But I think it also has to come from the bottom up too, which means sending a note to maybe the chief nursing officer. Maybe these are different times for hospitals. I agree with you, Brenda. I've heard stories since I got involved with Aging Life Care Association. We also, at ALCA's annual meeting, asked the incoming president, Connie and a friend of Connie's, Mindy, who's a case manager in the hospitals, to do a session on working together so we could all think about better ways to do it. So we're working on it. It hasn't changed in probably the 20 plus, 30 plus years that we've been around. But if we keep at it, maybe we'll crack some of these hospitals. And particularly at this difficult time when they need the extra space.
But what I find so interesting is when I'm in the ER, the doctor says to me, wow, I wish I had someone like you for my family. Or when I'm working with a discharge planner or the care coordinator, they're so grateful for me because I'm helping them with their hassle. They get it. That individual person gets it. Even when I'm not necessarily on the same page as they are, I'm always respectful. I always make sure that they understand that I'm working with them to help this client. So the individuals down there at the bottom of the pile usually really respect our work. It's when it goes higher up, it disappears, and I'm not sure what.
I also, Brenda, think part of it is, because I'm a nurse, so I worked in hospitals for many years, and people working in hospitals and big systems like that, they look at people who are business owners as a for-profit, you know, we do this for free, you know that phrase, and why would a family want to pay for care management services when we can coordinate everything from here? But as you know, we do a whole lot more of hand holding and problem solving in a lot more ways, because we don't have the imminence. The case managers in the hospital have so many people they've got to get in and out of the doors and make plans for and set up home care and, you know, all those hard kind of lined up events that they work on. But I think there's a resentment or a misunderstanding or a feeling that a for-paid business, when they are so, you know, care managers are social workers and nurses too, why would they get paid privately? I think it's hard to wrap their heads around. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see someone with a comment, and this was brought up last week when Byron was leading the call, about grandpads. I've not seen a grandpad, but let's see, it's a Cindy Flowers who is writing that she's delivering a grandpad today to a client, tested it with the family member, and it worked wonderfully. So that's wonderful to have that as an added feature.
This is Cindy Flowers. I wanted to make a comment about the statement about the case managers at the hospital. I think the way we win this battle is on a one-on-one basis. As we went over, one physician, one care manager, one, you know, whoever, educating them on our level of expertise. That's how we're going to do it. I mean, it's great if we can get the whole system to buy in and realize our value and, you know, our credentials and our experience. And it's sad, that we don't have, that total knowledge out there, but one at a time, we're going to get there. So don't give up on that one conversation with that one physician. Or I know most of my referrals come from doctors after I've been with a client two or three times and they see the value. The next thing I know, I'm getting calls from that doctor. Hey, I'm going to refer you somebody. So I think it's just one at a time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's word of mouth that gets us so many of our referrals to begin with. So, you know, a satisfied customer that's seen us at work. Cindy, can you talk a little more about grandpads, since we don't have anything too imminent on the chat here?
I can. I've worked with Grandpad for years. We were the pilot company that placed them in a lot of clients' homes, and now it's much more distributed. They were bought out by Consumer Cellular, I understand, or they have some kind of partnership. But the pad is safe because you can't you can lock it to where you can't access outside people that you don't want to get in the system, like an internet or a telemarketer. So it's a closed system. It's a simple pad. You open it up and you can have the picture of the person you want to call, and you just press on it and it calls your loved one, and the video pops up and you're both talking with each other, just like a Zoom call, but it's one-on-one. So you give, like this morning, I went on, I gave access to the daughter. She went in, she put her information, and then she and I were talking remotely. She's a busy veterinarian, and she's hired me to be the care manager for her mom. And so now I'm going to deliver this to the assisted living or moms in memory care, and they're ready for me to drop it off to them. They've had other clients that had it, so they're familiar with it. And they're going to take it back to her. And whenever the daughter wants to call her, she wants to call the daughter. They're just going to set the, you know, open the pad up. It sets on a cradle. It automatically charges. You don't have to turn it on or off. I don't know if anybody else has had one. They're really wonderful. I actually had a conversation this morning with Tara Bailey, our Florida chapter professional development chairperson. And we're wondering how we can, you know, get somebody to get a bunch of these for our clients and put them in the home so we can have chats and offer it as a service to our family members as well. I'm paying for this for my client, just for client satisfaction and connection for them. And plus it gets me the opportunity to see my client too.
Cindy, I will piggyback on what you said. We have been using brand pets off and on and have certainly picked up the beat on that during this crisis as well, as a way to allow a lot more communication with our client. But in addition to the video calls, of course, it also has games on it as well. Mm-hmm. So cognitive stimulation for your client. I think it's got bingo and solitaire and bridge and just about, I don't know, 6 or 8 games, and also website access. So news, I think it's got AARP and, NPR. So again, it is a closed system, but I understand you can also go on to websites, that certain websites can be uploaded to the GrandPad. That's something I haven't tried yet. I was thinking you couldn't do that, but I just learned that I think you can. So websites of interest to your client, you could upload those, and then she would be able to access those as well. So I'm a big fan, too, of that so far.
And this is Julie. I would just let you know, too, as on my other role for the Aging Life Care Association, I have reached out to GrandPad to try to work with them on becoming a corporate partner and possibly setting up some sort of a discount or arrangement for us. So that's just in the beginning stages, but just it's funny. I've never heard of GrandPads until we started these calls, and yet some people have used them for a long time. So so hopefully that'll be coming at some point as well.
There's two questions on the group chat. One is, can you teleconference with a GrandPad? And so do you need an internet connection? What's the price range? That's the other question.
I'm not sure what everybody pays, but I pay $40 a month. Okay. It's connected through the internet, but you don't have to have access to Wi-Fi. Somehow it's got its system that connects us like our iPhones. So I believe initially the pad is $250, but like I said, I have access to them. So they're $40 a month once you have the pad.
Okay.
So Cindy, where do you have access to them? Are you buying the iPad at your cost as well?
I have a friend that has a home care company that purchased a lot of them, mm-hmm. and they haven't placed them all in the home. So I'm now placing them.
Gotcha. Well, that's nice. Yeah, I was thinking that was a very nice thing for you to do for your client if you had to handle the upfront $250 as well.
Right. No, not at this point, but I might have to soon. So I'm looking forward to Julie's success with them. That would be awesome.
So
what about teleconference?
About the teleconference. Yeah. I was just thinking, I have not tried that, but I think if I had someone on my line, and in other words, I had already connected somebody and then I wanted to add a call, then I could call the GrandPad owner and they would be able to hear both of us, I believe. So you could teleconference by having people join your call first and then placing a call to the GrandPad owner. That would be what I would try to see if that works. And then you could have a teleconference like that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Right. Yeah, Julie just put up the grandpad.net if people want to look at that. Live Home is also on the group chat saying they're beta testing a new sensor technology at Live Home called AlloCare, A-L-O-E Care. So maybe along the same lines.
Mary Kay?
Yes.
It's just about the top of the hour, 1 o'clock on the East Coast. I want to be respectful of everyone's time. We certainly can keep going. But I want to take a moment just to thank you for leading this call. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And thank you to everybody for joining us. Julie?
I was just going to say we are going to have this call again next week at the same time. And if anybody has a specific topic that they would like us to maybe start out with or begin with, to just either put it on the chat or send me an email. And Linda from our board will be leading that call.
Or you can always send it to Sarah. Sarah, too, because most of you all have a relationship with Sarah. All right.
Wonderful. Just happy Passover, happy Easter, happy spring. Thanks for being on the call, and please stay well.
Yes. Thank you,
Mary Kay.